you go, you know, you can recognize the people that have that kind of an anointing. And so we are now going to move on in the anointing and what we have been teaching about the anointing to the next level. We said there were seven things and seven aspects of acquiring, getting the anointing, and then flowing in the anointing. There's seven things that we can do. And so we're going to pick up on that today. So let's pray. Father, I pray that as we're teaching on the anointing, that we understand exactly that the anointing is you inside of us being released to function as heaven would function on earth. And I thank you that we get out of the way and our job is simply to come into communion with you, Lord, into oneness with you, to hear your voice and simply respond when you tell us to do something, God. That's when the supernatural becomes very evident and apparent in our life because, God, you are supernatural. And so I ask that you speak through me today, God. Remove my influence and allow your influence to be the deciding factor in hearts today that hear this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's all remember that God loves to bless those, and I know you know this, He loves to bless those who walk in relationship with Him on the other side of the Jordan, beyond the wilderness of religious activity. I'm going to say that again. It's important. God loves to bless those who walk in relationship with Him on the other side of the Jordan, beyond the wilderness of religious activity. I think that can come and bring to mind a lot of our own lives, as well as others, of how we walked at one time in our life. Once in duty, and the other in love. And there's a difference between walking on this side of the Jordan and this side of the Jordan. There's a difference between knowing God and knowing God. And that's what we're pursuing today. We've been using Elijah and Elisha as our example of receiving and flowing in this anointing that we've been talking about. And we established that God will pour out His anointing on you if you are in relationship with Him, right, first, and are purposed to mature and grow in Him. So it's more than just coming into relationship with Him. It's purposing in your heart, like what we talked about today. It's time to light the fire. It's time to grow and mature and move off the platform of our salvation experience, the conversion experience, if you will. There's more to the Christian life than just getting our ticket to heaven. There's operating in the supernatural, that part of God that He deposits within us to function on earth as it is in heaven, or He would never have even given us His own prayer that says on earth as it is in heaven. He wants on earth to be as in heaven. We should be a reflection of the kingdom of God. And the only way that can happen, because God can't tolerate sin. He hates sin. He's not into compromise when it comes to that. Well, you can keep 10% of yourself and give me 90% of you. No, He's an all or nothing God. He wants 100% of you because He's given 100% of Himself in you. So therefore, don't quench that part or any part of Him in you and begin to walk out the anointing by yielding to Him at the foot of the cross, by then beginning to get intimate with Him through study of the Word and home fellowships and praying and intercession, etc. And then grow. Allow yourself to be picked by the pastor or anybody else in the leadership or anybody else to flow and to function in your giftings. That means you're going to have to carve out time in your busy, busy, busy schedule. Well, who's got first priority in your schedule? That's a good question for you to go home with. It ought to be God. So you got to go in relationship and purpose to mature and grow in Him for this anointing to be released. But someone may say, Pastor, have you read 2 Kings 2:10? Whoa. Well, maybe not. It sounds like acquiring the anointing is a very hard and difficult thing to do. Well, that's when the real meaning of Scripture gets lost in trying to translate from one language to another. You know, it may appear that way by reading it in English. Let's look at it. I thought that the anointing was just those special people that stood up on stage that we ran from seminar to seminar to get a part of it. Oh, the fire's going on over here. Oh, there's a conference over here. Sign up, sign up. I see people signing up for all kinds of conferences because God's moving there. Well, why ain't He moving right here? Right here.
That's right.
How did they get it and how did I not get it?
Amen.
2 Kings 2:10. He said, this is Elijah talking to Elisha who wants the anointing. You've asked a hard thing. Whoa. Nevertheless, if you see me, If there's a chance, you see me. When I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. But you've asked a hard thing. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but when I read that, it sounds to me like getting that anointing, that's hard. It's difficult. But that's because we study it in English. And from translation to translation, we don't really get this verse. Well, you're about to get it today. You would never believe it would be difficult for a father to bless an obedient son, would you? Common sense? Do you really think it's hard for a father to bless his son when he's walking in obedience? No. It's certainly not difficult for God to reward a faithful child of his own, considering he reiterates this promise throughout his word, don't you think? Does anybody ever hear the words, obedience releases blessing? What father natural would not want to bless an obedient son? What heavenly father, the only father that we have, would not want desire in his heart to bless his obedient children? God's not up there looking to be a killjoy, looking to pick you off anytime he can. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He wants you to become everything that you possibly can be in the diversity that you are, but in unity. Diversity, yet in unity. It's not hard to get the anointing. It's not difficult to get the anointing. That's not what this scripture is saying. I want to prove to you God's willingness, not his reluctance, to have you receive and to flow in the anointing by using the very same scripture that just said he asked a hard thing. This does not mean sheepishly coming to God and it being very difficult to get. Well, we're just going to sheepishly come to God and not come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, well, you know, if the anointing's available and you think that, you know, maybe I can, you know, have a little bit of it, can I please? The word asked, let's study it. The word asked is the word sha'el in Hebrew, and it has a deeper meaning in Hebrew here. This word sha'el doesn't mean what we think it means. It actually means requested, required, demanded. Whoa! We look at it, I'm asking God. But in Hebrew, it doesn't mean that. It means I'm demanding God. I'm requiring God. I'm requesting you, God. Not that we can demand or require or request anything from God, but when he's stated a promise and he's reiterated in Scripture, we have every right to command and request and demand what God said because he's not a liar and he's never been a liar. So when we ask God what's already in his will for us to have, we can come to him boldly and we can demand and request and require what he's already required of us. So we don't ask for the anointing. He wants us to have the anointing. We can demand it. But there's some things in there like we talked about. Bethel, right? Gilgal, Jericho. We got to visit before he's just going to plop down and give us what we want. If you do this, then I will do this. Same God yesterday, today, and forever. Whether Old or New Testament, God's the same way. He's not going to hand it to people that are going to abuse it and that are immature and that are not intimate with him, that don't want any part of it. They just want the glory in it. They want their fame and their name in lights. No, he's the light. And that's the one that should be shining, not you, ultimately. So you have ownership on the other side of the Jordan. If you've walked through Gilgal, you got saved. If you've been to Bethel and you've become intimate with God, and then you went to Jericho and began exercising your gifts in obedience to God, when you cross that Jordan, you have a right to request, require, and demand the anointing that God placed within you to function. You're prepared. You've done what he's asked you to do. Okay, God, I've done what you've asked me to do. Now bring me the anointing. Release it in me. You've already saved me and given me the Holy Spirit. Now I refuse to quench the Holy Spirit. I'm 100% yours. Use me, mold me, shape me, whatever you want to say. You're vested. When you've been to those places, you're vested and you're set in this place, it says. Our lives actually, listen to me, our lives, our literal lives, when we visited Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho, when we walked that preparation with God, our lives actually call for the anointing when we arrive in the manner in which God tells us to follow. If he told us to follow this path, at the end of that path, guess what's waiting for us? The anointing. And a powerful one at that. Jesus. Our life calls for it. Scripture demands it. It commands it. Your life and commitment to Him actually demands this anointing, commanding its what? Its effectiveness to empower you. What are you commanding? The effectiveness of the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what you're demanding. You're not asking for something that's not already being done in heaven. Why did God give you the Holy Spirit? To just make you feel ooey and gooey on the inside? Oh, God loves me. That's part of it. Without the love, nothing else works. So we know that's the first ingredient. Just like going to the cross is the first step in salvation, but it's not the only step in salvation. God is calling forth from you the supernatural. He's calling from you. He's demanding, He's commanding the effectiveness of the power of the Holy Ghost to be seen through you. Otherwise, we're no different than any other religion.
That's right.
Thank you. Think about it. Why Christianity versus any other religion?
That's right.
Because greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world and any religion that's in the world. The Holy Spirit in us should shine. The power of our witness should be going forth boldly. We should be laying hands on the sick. There should be those that are dead coming to life in God's perfect will when you're across the Jordan and He's telling you to go raise that person up and you're not going in your own strength thinking you're something. The anointing, it's your daddy in heaven. He wants you to function in it. And we're commanding its effectiveness. We're commanding the effectiveness of the anointing to be released in us when we've been intimate with Him and we've walked in obedience with Him. But don't come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I couldn't. There's no trace of it in my life. Well, the first place I'm going to go and find out is, are you saved?
Yeah, sure.
Second thing is, have you come to know Him? I mean, really know Him? And then the third place is, are you exercising? Mm-hmm. Or are you a couch potato? You just sit around and read the Word all day and get to know Him even better. Let me tell you something. The devil knows it from front to the back cover.
That's exactly right.
And he believes it, but he shudders because he didn't want to be obedient to it.
Right.
Your life is a product of faith, which is faith. And what is faith? Faith without works is dead. Your knowledge of God isn't getting you anywhere. Your knowledge of God and yielding to His power within you to walk in this walk is what gets you there. It's not just your talk, folks. It's your walk. How you walk matters.
Yes.
I want to make sure that you understand it's not that we're demanding from God. We are simply receiving what's been promised through obedience. When you have obeyed and stayed in Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho, and then crossed the Jordan, the death of your old life and faith in the new one cries out and commands the blessings of God. I can't say that enough. When you're walking that way, God is not a man that He should lie. He says He will bless you. He will bless you. And He's not looking for the pink Cadillacs and all the riches of coins that you can develop and stuff like that. The richness that you have is the release of the Spirit within you.
Yes.
To change lives, to be impactful for the kingdom of heaven, to become like Daniel and Joseph and Paul and Peter and those guys we read about. They weren't any extra special guys than you are. They were fishermen and tax collectors and people who disobeyed and walked in opposite of the things of God at one time in their life. They just decided that, you know what? This Christian thing that Jesus is talking about, it's real. And it's real for me, and I'm going to just go out with reckless abandon, and I'm going to dedicate my whole life to it, and I don't care what people think. I'm just going to go out, and I'm going to do it, even if it means I get my head chopped off. Back then, your head could be lopped off. Today, you have it easy, because there's not a lot of people looking off, walking around trying to chop off your head. At least I don't think so. When people start getting ticked at you, when you start getting irritating to people, when people think you're a little peculiar, when you lose a lot of friends and maybe even members in the church, it's probably because you're getting a little closer to the Lord. Because the world is going to be averse to what you have to say and do. So all those in their church that are not of God are going to look at you and think that you're just being a little bit too radical. And the rest of the world is going to think you're just going to be a little too peculiar. Either way, being radical or peculiar is not a real, you know, great position to stand on if you're trying to look for a little self-confidence, right? We need our brothers and sisters then to come alongside of us. And we need that, what, cloud of witnesses in heaven applauding us, knowing that our reward is in heaven and it's not here on earth. We command the blessings of God. God certainly wants the seed of your life. Remember that you planted in the ground when you went underneath that water, when we did the, when we went through baptism the other day. Remember that? We put you guys under the water. What was that symbolizing? Death to self. Well, we plant our seed in the ground, and Jesus said, "What? If you plant a seed in the ground until it dies and it gets planted in the ground, nothing's going to happen." But let's look at what he says. John 12:24. "Truly, truly, I say, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, unless you get rid of yourself completely, it remains alone. But if it dies, if you die to self, it bears much fruit." Why? Because God can take over. And God is a fruit bearer. God has a harvest beyond anything that you could possibly harvest in your entire life. No matter what abilities you have, no matter how smart you are, how gifted you think you are, when you die to self and get rid of all that and allow God to take over, He'll outdo anything you can do. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. Remember that? My daddy can beat up your daddy. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. Well, our Father in heaven's bigger than anything this earth has to offer. No matter what our fathers teach us down here, and they do have a responsibility to do that, our Father in heaven has so much better advice. So going back to 2 Kings 2:10, Elijah said, "You've asked," or "you've demanded a hard thing." Well, the word hard in Hebrew is pala, P-A-L-A. Pala does not mean hard, difficult, tricky, or impossible. It means miraculous, wonderful, basic and essential, the right thing, the only thing. Does that not change this whole verse? In Hebrew, the word that was used means miraculous, wonderful, basic, essential, the right thing, the only thing. So Elijah was really saying, "You've demanded the most essential thing, Elisha, the anointing." We read it, "Oh, you've asked a hard thing. If you see me when I go, you'll get it. If not, don't worry about it. You know, go get it somewhere else." That's not the translation. You've demanded, you've commanded the most essential thing that you could ask for, the anointing. God is pleased. I am pleased. That's what we want. The anointing. It thrilled Elijah's heart knowing that his son didn't ask for the results of his ministry, but the cause of it, which was his spirit. He wanted his spirit. He saw it in him. And that's why Elisha was the son and the others were simply religious observers, pursuing the stuff, pursuing the things of ministry. Elisha wanted the double portion. He wanted what? The crown prince anointing. He wanted the spirit that was on Elijah because he knew that if he had the reason, the cause for all of the blessing, he had it all. He didn't care about just getting the fruit of it. The applause that comes after the sermon, he didn't care about all that. He just wanted to make sure that what he was planting in their ears was from his Father in heaven and that his Father was pleased. He could give a rip whether or not the people applauded or thought he was something. Remember that with Jesus? He'd do miracles. He'd do supernatural things. I mean, reason for people to stand up and go, "Woo!" And what did he tell them to do? "Shh. Don't go tell anybody what just happened." Because he didn't want people coming back going, "Look at Jesus, the man." Jesus, the man, was pointing to Jesus, the God. Part of the triunity of God who is to be glorified and worshipped. I only do what I see the Father doing. The attention was on his Father, and he told us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, not our Jesus who art in heaven. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven. And even though Jesus is God, fully God, and always has been God, he did become fully man to show us how to live and to respond to Father God. It's not hard. Tools are going to change, techniques are going to be altered, stuff will pass on, but it's the anointing that will abideth forever. 1 John 2:17 and 27. Listen, the world is going to pass away. We all know that. We're in the end times already. And also it's lust. What's that mean? The desires, the things that you know your flesh is craving that you really want to do, but to go over and do a Bible study instead, well, maybe we'll come back and do the Bible study later. Let's just go do this first. But you know what? That stuff's going to pass away. I ain't going to be here when Jesus decides to show up. Movie theater won't be open. It will be closed. The bowling alley will be closed. All the other stuff that we do for pleasure will be closed. When Jesus shows up, you know where you're going to be? On your knees. For every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. The world's passing away and its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. As for you, the anointing which you receive from Him. How about that? We accept Jesus at Gilgal, right? The anointing comes down there and puts Himself right inside of you, that Holy Spirit. And you have no need for anybody to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just that has been taught you, abide in Him. What does that mean? Now you got to go to Bethel. What does it mean to abide in something? It means to get intimate with that person. It means to live with that person. It means to what? Shack up and set your place, enthrone yourself there. What's the word? Yoshev. I'm going to Yoshev with God. I'm going to abide with God. I want to learn who He is, how He is, how He works. I want everything He's got. I'm going after Him like Elisha went after Elijah. God's got the anointing. He's got everything I need. He's got my provision. He's got my health and all that stuff. I can run to the hospital. I can run everywhere else. But the first place I want to go is to the one I know who has got it all. I'm going to abide in Him. And if I abide in Him, then His anointing, what He's placed within me, is what's going to teach me. It's what's going to tell me what to do. It's going to tell me to go to the doctor if I need to because God chooses to heal me that way, or to stay home and let Him do it on His own. Right. But you're never going to hear that if you don't abide with Him. You don't grow with Him. You don't mature with Him. It's not difficult for God to bless or give His divine inheritance to those who truly seek Him and desire His anointing. So it's not a hard thing. What is it? It's a miraculous thing. It's the most essential thing. It's the right thing to ask for. To demand for. We have a right to demand of God that which He's already promised if it's in His will. God doesn't lie. So I close with this. There is nothing too hard about passing the mantle to someone who is ready for it. Discipleship, mentoring somebody. There's nothing hard about that if you are dealing with someone who's ready for it. If they have visited Gilgal and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior into their life, and they want to step into the promised land and have their ministries and church ministries and everything else without having to go through the intimate part and the development part, you're wasting your breath. It doesn't happen that way. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where sacrifice and obedience aren't mentioned over and over and over again. Obedience even being better than sacrifice. God wants to release His anointing through people who realize they can't accomplish His work in their own strength. When He finds somebody that's divested of Himself and that He can completely show off and show out in His glory, ascend from the depths of that inept person, that's who He's going to choose. The little scrawny guy out there with a slingshot. Chewing bubble gum. Yeah, I'm the last son. What do you want? Stand there while I pour this oil over the top of your head. You're going to be the next king of Israel. Yeah, right. And I'm sure that when he was running from Saul, hiding in caves, going, God, your word said I was going to be what?
Amen.
God loves to turn things upside down, inside out, work from the bottom up, go with the humble. Come on, that's who he is. Because he ain't going to share his glory with any of us. So, don't ever pray for something you can do. That's what God would tell you. Don't ever pray for something you can do. Pray for something only God can do through you and in you. Why? Because it pleases God. It's called faith. Faith is the substance, the materialism, the actuality of that, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know what the word hope is? It's expected. It's going to be the substance of things I expect. I expect to see my Bible on the other side of those whatever they are, flowers, when I turn around. Now, somebody could have stole it in the meantime, but I'm expecting to see it. There it is. But when I was looking at you, I didn't see it. I didn't know if it really would be there, but I did. Faith is the substance of things that are expected. The evidence of things that I don't see. How can you have evidence if you don't see it? Because you're not using your natural senses, you're using your spiritual senses. God said it, therefore it is, therefore I believe it. Therefore it's evidence to me. I'm banking on it so much that I'm risking my life for it. God wants to do things through you that you can't see in your own strength happening. He wants to birth things in you that you can't believe could ever be birthed in you. How could a baby be born to Sarah at 100 years old? How could I become a pastor? I'm a physical therapist and athletic trainer. I don't know the last thing about pastoring. And I'm sure in every one of your lives you can say, how could God possibly do this in me? I don't have any ability in it. And God's going, that's exactly right. You don't. And stay that way throughout the rest of your career. Dream greater than who you are. That's what Elisha was doing. Receiving and flowing in the anointing is not a difficult thing, as we said today. It is not a difficult thing. You simply have to be willing to visit Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho, and then cross the Jordan, leaving your old life behind, calling forth the miraculous anointing of God to fulfill His purposes for your life as you come to know Him more intimately than ever. So I ask you, do you know Him? Do you know Him?